want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you ladies. And later on, we will have a little gift for you at the end of the service. You do so much and deserve a lot more than what we're going to give you. But we tried, but I always mention there's a Lexus outside and Mercedes waiting for you. But it's probably a little smaller. I want to make a brief announcement before I go into the message, and that's from the Missions Committee. Those of you that have received information about it, just to let you know that the team that's going to Latvia, they want you to know that they're going to another city called Tausi, not Daugavpils, and also two other things that they wanted you to know, and they will be announcing in the future, is that there are 22 really poor families there, and they'll be raising funds to buy wood. They heat a very cold area. They heat their homes with wood, and they don't have it. And these are families that they'll be helping, 22 families. I think it's about $200 a bundle, a gigantic bundle of wood. And also, there's an orphanage that they'll be going to, and in that orphanage, there's a number of children, and they're going to be bringing a backpack along with stuff that are inside for the schooling and different things like that. They'll let you know about it, but they wanted me to announce that for them this morning. Would you join me in prayer as we look to the Lord? Father, we come before you today, and we want to thank you for the privilege we have on this great day to celebrate our moms and certainly what you have done in and through them. Also, as well, Lord, that we can look into your word. We pray that you speak to our hearts from this passage. In your name we pray. Some of you remember in the book of Acts when the Lord Jesus went up, ascended into heaven, and the angels told the disciples, why are you guys staring into heaven for? He's going to come back. So they went back into Jerusalem, and they began to pray. Now, prayer is something that Christians do all the time, and they just spend awful lot of time praying. And they were told not to leave until the Holy Spirit comes. Now, they have no idea what that means, you know, back in those days, because it hadn't happened yet. But they stayed there and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and they didn't do anything. They didn't go outside to do anything at all. You know, barely going out to get food to eat, I'm sure. But they prayed, and then the day of Pentecost came. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and all kinds of things happened. And the world was never the same afterwards. One of the things that happened was that the Holy Spirit came, and he came with gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, I know that we talk about that. Most churches talk about that. But I find that a lot of Christians, particularly in the more conservative wing of evangelicalism, they really don't understand sometimes what spiritual gifts are. Sometimes we treat it like kind of a part of our personality, you know, the way we are, and the Spirit of God just makes our personality better. Or does something better in the church. Or if you're doing something outside, you just do it in the church. And that's kind of what we think it is. It is not. There is something very special about it. In fact, the scripture calls it the grace of God. It is a grace that gives to us, that God has given to us. And because of that, grace is something awesome, charis, the Greek word. It is something from the Almighty God. It is divine, it is spiritual. It comes into your life and transforms it. It allows you to do things you could not do before. So it's very different. Now, it may match with some of your personality. It doesn't necessarily have to at all. And so today we want to talk about that because this month is our ministry month. On the 22nd, 2 weeks from today, we are going to have a ministry fair. And I hope you all plan to be here, plan to attend it, plan to be a part of it, and ask God to inspire you and speak to your heart as to how you can get involved in ministry. See, every person that knows Jesus Christ, he or she, well, you have to be in ministry because ministry is all about what we are. And what if God's people ministered according to the grace given to you? Wouldn't that be amazing? That'd be awesome. If every single person here in our church would minister according to the grace God has given, not just do some things. We know that in most churches, 10 or 20% of the people do pretty much 90% of the stuff. And that doesn't work. It isn't how God intended. It isn't how a family works. It's not how the body of Christ that we are called to be operates. It can't work that way. And so what if God's people minister according to grace given? Three thoughts, very brief thoughts today, I want to share with you. First of all, every believer has been given ministry gifts. This is something I always like to ask people, especially those who are in ministry, and I have been a part of the teaching ministry up in the seminary I graduated from for about 15 years, and one of the jobs that I had was to mentor students, seminary students. And one of the things that I would always ask them is, what are your spiritual gifts? And most of them really don't know. You have to discover that. They can be discovered, and you do have them. I usually ask, what are your three primary ones? If you go through the scripture, you'll find that upwards of about 21, 22 gifts. Some say about maybe 17 or 18, depending on how you define some of them. But nevertheless, these are gifts that the Spirit of God gives to His people. What are they? Do you know what they are? Do you know what they are? Every single believer has them. And if you don't know what they are, you might not be using them at all. If you're not using them, you're doing other things. You might be doing nothing. I want to share with you mine. And as I share that with you, perhaps you can begin to discover yours. These are my three primary gifts. The gift of faith, the gift of leadership, the gift of preaching, or some would say prophecy, or some of those kind of category in teaching. I'm a pastor, pastor student. In fact, most pastors don't have some of those gifts, but yet they're called upon to do those things. Now think about it. The average church in America is about 70 people. They hire a pastor, and that pastor has to do everything. He's the CEO of a company now. He has to fundraise. He has to encourage. He has to preach. He has to teach. He has to visit. He has to do funerals. He has to do baptism. He has to do all these things. That's what he's supposed to do. But he doesn't have all those gifts. And therein lies the tough job of a pastor, especially a pastor of a small church. I still remember when we started our church in New York City, the second church that we were at, and we had about 15 teenagers. You would think, that's easy, 15 teenagers. How much time do you have to spend on them? I remember counting at one point. I said, whoa, my goodness, I only had 3 nights free per month. Every night we were doing things. We had people over. We had this. We had that. I was taking them to trips. I was taking them doing sports ministry with them, on and on and on. A little tiny church got into 15, then 20, 30, 40, 50, and I was working to death. That's what a lot of pastors have to do. And then it gets on a little bit, and we assume the pastors have certain gifts. I want to tell you, only about 3% of all pastors have leadership gifts, leadership, catalytic leadership gifts, where they can envision a place and lead a church to grow in that way. Only 3%. The rest of them just keeping busy in other ways. They might do better in a staff situation, but they're called upon to do things. And then after a little while, you know, church is like, well, we don't like our pastor. It's not any good. No matter how hard he works, that's how it is. So my gift is that. You know, I have the gift of faith, which allows me to envision what will happen. Envision what will happen to CBC. I know exactly what's going to happen, in a sense, in my heart. You know, I'm thinking it, praying it through, and the Spirit of God leads me to thinking, and I begin to move in that direction, encourage people to go in those directions. My second gift is the gift of leadership. You have to lead people. You can force people. You can, you know, kill people doing something. You can do all those. That's not leadership. You got to be able to bring people with you. They have to follow along. Like a shepherd, you know, a shepherd would lead, and then the sheep would follow. If the sheep don't follow, well, wherever the shepherd goes, he's losing everybody. And that's very typical of a lot of situations. What are your gifts? What are your gifts? You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I have those kind of things. You may. The scripture here talks about it. It defines it. It says apostle, evangelist, you know, pastor, teacher, on and on. There's all kinds of gifts. What are your gifts? And you say, maybe it's my... No, it's not your personality. Barbara can tell you. You know, when she first met me, we were just talking about that this past week, how my personality literally changed because of the giftedness that God has given to me. I would go there and a couple of people that went to school with me here, you know, we'll go to lunch, and she said, you know, it used to be you just go and eat, you know, put your hand up and start eating, shoveling it in. And there'll be people all around the table. And she said, she asked me something. I don't remember she ever asking that. She said, don't you care about the people there sitting with you? That's a pretty offensive question, don't you think? But then she asked it. And I told her. She said, I said, no, I don't. And, you know, when I think about my personality growing up as a teenager, being number 6 in a family of 7, having my parents, you know, a typical immigrant, working all day long, and I'm left to myself and just kind of running around the city of New York, I didn't really care about people at all. I didn't care how I led them, leading them. Why would I care about them? And of course, I was so shy that I couldn't ever stand up in front of anybody. I would never do that. I'd go into a room, if I was forced to go in a room with people and there was a party or something going on, I would find the corner on the right side or left side, you know, where there's a chair that I'll sit there, get a bag of chips and eat there, and I'll be happy all day long and no one talks to me. That was me. But you see, the spiritual gifts that God has given to me, well, that's not going to happen. Because I care about people. I want to talk to people. When I'm around a table, the first thing I want to do is ask for the name. What do they do? What do they think about life? On and on and on. Just conversation. You know what? It's not something that is hard for me. It's something I love to do. This is something that came from the Spirit of God. Because naturally, I'm not like that. So you guys think, you know, I'm a shy person or I'm this and that. You don't know what God can do with your life. If you would discover the gifts that God has given to you, and I want you to know, the gifts that God has given to you, they are really phenomenal and precious. You'll be amazed at what you can do. They may be gifts of encouragement, you know. You go there and you sit there and people are like, man, you left and somebody said, I love that person. That person just encouraged my heart. There are people like that right here in this room. You may be a person that really is gifted in teaching. You might not be a teacher in school. And sometimes you think that, you know, I'm a teacher in school, so I'm, no. You know how many bad teachers there are in school? But you teach the Word of God. I can tell you, I'm envisioning people in my mind right now to have that. And you just sit there and you say, I can't wait. I've sat through a lot of conferences, and I can tell you, the preachers that I can just sit there and listen to all day long. My favorite preacher, my utterly favorite preacher, is Stuart Briscoe. I'm telling you, Stuart Briscoe will preach, and he's given a certain amount of time, and right at that second, he never goes on. He ends it all the time. He never run on. And then you're like, go on, please, don't stop. Have you ever heard that? I hope you say that about me, but I probably doubt it. You know, there are people like that, you know, because they got the gift of teaching. They're so exciting and interesting. They just inspire your heart, you know, they inspire your soul. Some of you guys are like that. Do you know that? You can inspire children. You can inspire adults. Some of you Sunday school teachers, perhaps you like that. Now, there are a lot that aren't. Because they're using wrong gifts. They don't have those giftedness. But God has given each one of us gifts. What are they for you? Second thing I want to share with you is every believer is expected to fulfill an important role. That's right. Every single one of you. No excuse. I was talking to a friend of mine a long time ago, and he was building a house in New York City. Actually, New Jersey. And he said, well, they were working on Saturdays. And so he said he went there, and nobody's working. Everybody's standing around, just mingling around, nothing going on. I mean, this is really expensive. These people pay high, you know, salaries. What's going on? He asked him. He said, well, we can't work yet. It was about 10 o'clock. And he said, because it's Saturday, we weren't able to get anybody from the workers' union. Now, everything's unionized up north. The workers' union. Who are they? Well, these are the ones that just turn on things. And so they went to the place, the electricians are there, the plumbers are there, the carpenters are there, they were all there, but no one can turn on the water faucet. Only from the workers' union can they turn on the spigot, you know, because they needed water. So they had to get somebody from that union to come out on, you know, paying a time and a half to come and turn on the water. And finally the guy came and turned on the water, and all he did was sat there. When they were all done, he turned off the water. That was his job. No kidding. This is unionized work, all right? He said, wow, the church is not like that. No, the church is not like that, okay? There are lots of things that we can do. Even though we're not teachers, we can help teach. Even though we're not good at cooking food, we can help cook. We might not be leaders, but we can help the leaders. We need all these things there. But you need to understand that we are very specialized. God has specialized us. We are gifted. And there's a special role in a church that needs you. There's somebody that needs to do administration, and there's a team of people that needs to minister the needs of the church. You remember the apostles, you know what they did? They said it's not right for us to forsake the word of God so that we can wait on tables. So they got deacons together. There needed to be people that can do administrative stuff to help the poor, the widow, all that. Somebody had to do that. It can't be the pastor every single time. It can't be the head deacon every single time. It can't be every Sunday school teacher. You got to do everything. No, you have a very specialized role. And when we all do those things, you know what happens? Things get done well. Not only do they get done well, people that are doing them are excited. You get excited. You go home and say, I had a great time at church. You know, that was a great day of ministry. We went there, we had a fellowship, and we did some things. I can't wait to do it again next week. That's what happens when you do the things that God has called you to do. But when you're doing things that you don't want to do, you're doing things that's just burdensome because no one else is doing it. You know, after a little while, I said, I'm getting burned out. So what do? The first thing we do, we ask our young people, especially our young people, we tell them to take care of the nursery, take care of the children. As if that is just natural? Why is that natural? You know, you want to ruin young people from ministry, just keep throwing them into the children's ministry. Keep throwing them into the teaching ministry. They're not teachers. They're not children workers. They have a special role. Maybe some of them finance people. Maybe some of them are really good with other things, you know? What we need to do is encourage people. Because every single believer is expected to fulfill an important role. That's why I love the illustration that is used by the Almighty God. The Lord said to us, you know, we are a body of Christ. I mean, can you imagine trying to use your foot to reach up and, you know, grab something that your hand should do? I mean, that just doesn't work. Can you imagine, you know, different parts of your body doing the wrong things? You can't imagine that because that's wrong. That's what happens when a dysfunctional body operates. And sometimes that's what happens with church. So if you're not involved in something, you say, I don't know what to do. What you need to do is discover the gifts that God has given to you first. And we have a spiritual survey. We don't have a copy of it, but we're going to be doing that throughout this month, next month, and so on, so that you can discover what your spiritual giftedness is. And then Pastor Brian, along with the staff in the church, will try to put you in those positions, head you taught there, so that not only would you be successful, effective in your ministry, but you'll enjoy it too. The last thing I want to share with you is every believer is responsible for how the church turns out. What am I trying to say here? Every single year, 7,000 churches close. 7,000. Obviously, these churches are not turning out well. Every single year. And we're told statistically that churches throughout America are dying. Unless the church is around 600 or more, those churches are keeping its own. And some of the bigger churches are getting bigger. The mega churches are getting mega, more mega. But the average church, you know, 70 or so, they're dying. You know, when I was in New York City, the Chinese churches, we had about 150 of them in New York City. The average church was 30 people. That's it. Most of them didn't have any pastor. If they had them, they were part-timers. And they're dying. They were. Why? I'll tell you what happens. Because believers who are not understanding that the grace of God is given to them to serve, to minister in church, they begin to be like kind of, well, they're just looking for things. And so instead of ministering in a church, they're looking for how the churches can minister to them. And so, of course, I understand. You have a family of six people, like, say, four children. One of them is 3 years old. One of them is 1 year old. Another one is a teenager, perhaps. You want to go to Sugar Creek, okay? Sugar Creek's got everything for you. That's if you're a consumer Christian. That's right. You go to Second Baptist, you know? You go to those kind of places. And I'm not faulting them at all. These churches are not their problem. They're just doing a great job. And so, you know, you want to have a singles ministry, and you're a single person, and CBC doesn't seem to have a lot of single people. How am I going to get married in CBC? I got to go to First Baptist. It's got a great singles ministry. I get it. Understandable. But you're not looking at this at all then. You're just looking at yourself. You're looking at how that relates to you. Oh, I got offended in CBC one day. Yeah, I'm just going to leave CBC. I'm going to leave. And how many people have I met in Chinatown? It's almost every single time I go eat somewhere, I meet somebody. Oh, I used to be a former CBC member. No problem with people going to another church, right? I never have a problem. Somebody say, Pastor, I'm going to another church. I'll pray with you, bless you, you go on. But you better have a good reason why. It is because God has called you to Sugar Creek. Because God has called you to Second Baptist because you can minister there. And what I find instead is not that. It is because they have something you are looking for there. And you're just trying to sap it out of them. Okay, you give a little money here and there, an offering. That's not church. And that's why the 600 and up churches are maintaining itself, while all the other churches are falling apart and dying out. And that's why 32,000 people are leaving the church every single day. Because we're saying we can't find the churches. The churches aren't ministering to me. Really? That's how it works. No, it isn't. That's not how God works it. Every believer is responsible for how the church turns out. If there's an issue in CBC, we deal with it. If there's a need in CBC, we rise to it. If there's something that we can do, we do it. That's how churches ought to be. Not just CBC, every single church. I have people come to our church, here and otherwise, especially in New York. He said they left a certain church because of certain reason. I remember this one group, about 20 came to our church. And who doesn't want 20 people to transfer into your church? I told them to go back. I said, you don't need the church that way. I know you're not happy with things, but God has called you to that church. You need to stay there. You don't want to come here. They didn't come to our church. I guess I didn't welcome them. They went to some other church. They never went back. But that's what happens, you know. That's how God's people miss the point that God has given us wonderful, wonderful gifts for ministry. And you know what? Each one of us has something. And God calls us to very specific churches, very specific ministry, a place where you can thrive, a place where you can get involved, and not a place where you can get. We got to stop being this consumer type of Christian, looking for those things. Listen, all those churches are wonderful. I see our church. And I said it before, I know our church is going to get to a place where we're going to be a couple of thousand people. And when that happens, there might be other people that will come because we're a big church. We got all these things. I hope they don't. I hope they come because God has called them to CBC, not because we have things that their churches don't. Because that's what the Bible tells us. Every believer is responsible for how the church turns out. So today, I hope that you can get involved. If you're not involved in ministry, there's so many places you can. You can be simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a great counselor. But there is a gift that God has given to you. And when you exercise that gift, I want to tell you, you're going to love being in church. You're going to love ministering in church. You're going to love the small group you're involved in. You're going to love your Sunday school classes. You can't wait to invite other people to come to church. That's how it is when you are involved in it. That's what ministry does. Barbara and I, we've been in ministry as pastor and wife for 36 years. Man, we can't imagine anything else. We just can't imagine anything else. I remember when we first came here from New York and we left a big church to come here. Before we came to CBC, we didn't have a salary for a long time because we started a new church. We started a home church. We just loved it. We're looking every which way to find ministry. Find these people that are in need. And we'll go home and we're so satisfied, so rejoicing that we made a difference in the lives of people. And that's what it's about. Every believer being responsible for how the church turns out. I encourage you today to get involved. We have all kinds of things that you can get involved in. And if you're in the wrong thing, I have no issue with you saying, Pastor Dan, I can't be that teacher anymore. Pastor Dan, I can't do that committee anymore. No problem. We'll get you to another place where you will thrive. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you use us. Thank you so much for the gifts that you give to us. Oh, Lord God, I pray that you will be with our people here. Lord, that each person right here in this room and in this church would discover the precious gifts that you have given and then to open them and begin to use them for your sake. and your glory. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.